Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
As I said, my name's Andy, part of the team here. Last week, Alan kicked this sermon series off, Bearing Fruit in All Seasons. And so we're going to be spending a couple of weeks on it this spring. And it wasn't just something we, drank too much coffee and thought this would be a great idea or something like that. It was actually a response to a word from someone in our community that called our attention to Ezekiel chapter 47. And so we journeyed that and we prayed into it for a bit and felt like we wanted to let it be a catalyst to help us as a church, that God actually was speaking to us from this, and so we wanted to really journey it in this setting together. And so are you up for that? Is that still good? You were good last week. Are you good now? Great, okay. Here we go. So Ezekiel is a prophetic book in the Old Testament. Ezekiel was a priest at the temple in Jerusalem during the time of the first siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonian Empire. And during the first siege, the first wave of the attack, they spared the city, but they took a bunch of like the Israelite elite, like the ruling class, and they took them into exile. And Ezekiel was one of them. He was in the priestly class, and so they took a bunch of Israelites back to Babylon, and they were living in exile. And the book of Ezekiel then comes about 5 years after that, and it begins by Ezekiel telling us he's sitting by like a drainage canal in a refugee camp in Babylon. He's longing for home. He's longing for the presence of God because he's like in exile in the land of the enemy. And it's his 30th birthday. And that's important because he was of the priestly class, and it was on your 30th birthday if you were a male priest. That's when your ministry began. And it was like a big deal. And, you know, instead of that beginning, like the plan for his life going the way he thought, he's sitting by a drainage canal in exile, longing for home and longing for the presence of God. And that's how the book begins. And it might be the best opening to a book ever. It's certainly tied for first place on my list for first lines to books ever. And it's so good, I'm going to share it with you. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. In my 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the river Kabar, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. And we're all like, well, tell me more. Like, it's the best ever. Well, one of the best ever. And the rest of the book of Ezekiel is his visions from God about Israel, about God's judgment that's coming because of sin and ignoring God's ways and God's plans, their treatment of the poor and all that stuff. And then how God's presence is going to return and how he will restore all creation to himself. And by the time chapter 47 comes rolling along, God's presence has returned to the temple and to the holy city. He's renewing the whole earth. And it gives us this picture of this stream or this trickle of water running out from the temple and starting to move through the city. And you see this in chapter 47, verses 1 to 2. And it's the man brought me back. And that's just Ezekiel is being taken around by like an angel, seeing this the holy city in his vision, right? Brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water is coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. And it becomes, it starts as a trickle from the temple, and then it becomes a river, and then it becomes a mighty river, and then by the time it hits the Dead Sea, the Dead Sea is so salty, nothing can live in it. By the time it hits the Dead Sea's waters become fresh and full of life. And if you read chapter 47, you see there's all kinds of fish and all that stuff. But then in verse 12 of Ezekiel 47, you see this: fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them, and their fruit will serve as food and their leaves for healing. And it's this idea of trees being planted along this river of God's presence flowing from his sanctuary, making all things new, renewing the earth. These trees bearing fruit in every season. right? And trees that bear fruit in every season are like a theme in Scripture. You could trace them and study them. You could find them in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. You could find them in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. You'll find trees that bear fruit in every season in Revelation 22. The biblical writers are thinking about creation and trees and stuff like that, and they're saying we are supposed to be the trees that bear fruit in every season because we're rooted in God's presence, right? And again, this Ezekiel 47, this mighty river, is about God's presence filling the earth, redeeming and renewing it as his presence fills his people. And, you know, the sense for us as we're journeying this scripture, this word, that, you know, this place in scripture that the Spirit of God, you know, highlighted someone in our body and we're putting our attention on it, the sense is that as we attend to God's presence as a church, as individuals, and as a body together, we can and will become like those trees that bear fruit in every season because we're rooted and nourished in his presence, and we'll bear fruit that lasts, that makes a difference in the world for Christ's sake. And as Alan told us last week, you know, the life we receive from God isn't just for us. It's to pour out from us and bless the world. And that introduction Alan did is really, really important. It's a foundation for the next sermons that we're doing. So go back and definitely listen to that. It'll help you over the next couple of weeks. But Alan talked about how even though many of us feel less than fruitful, or we feel far away from bearing fruit in every season, it'd be nice to bear fruit in one season, you know, maybe that's how we feel, you know, even that's how we feel, that the kind of life that the scriptures are talking about is actually possible if we're deeply connected to Jesus. He also really helpfully talked about what kind of fruit do we mean, you know, that it isn't about doing more work for Jesus, like our divine to-do list, you know, that kind of thing, finding our worth in that, or striving to make our own fruit, or focusing on just simply external fruit, like how many people have I led to Jesus this week, or prayed for this week, or whatever. It has more to do with what's happening on the inside than the outside. And Alan, you know, pointed us to Galatians 5, verse 22. If you want to talk about fruit, we should probably talk about the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, working through us, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. It's not to say that service and accomplishing things and working hard aren't important. They're really important, as we're going to see later on in our series. But if we put them first, or if we say that they're the only things that we have access to or matter, we'll quickly lose the point that we're to abide in the presence of Jesus and bear fruit from that place. Much fruit. But it's abiding, resting, remaining, dwelling in the presence of Jesus, being the tree that's roots are in the river, fed by the water coming from God's sanctuary. And out of that place, we bear fruit in all seasons. If we're trying to produce our own fruit, it's not going to go very well. We'll end up striving and feeling guilty all the time. So today, I want to take us a bit further. I want to introduce the concept of seasons in the Bible. If we're going to bear fruit in all seasons, we should think about the seasons and what they're for. We should think about what kind of fruit we see in each season, because it can be very different, and we will miss it if we're not looking for it. And we want to give you some language for that, and kind of like a paradigm to think through that we can apply to our lives that will set us up for an even deeper dive next week. So does all that sound okay to you? Okay, great. The first service, when I asked that question, they kind of just looked at me blankly and grunted. So I'm going to take some quiet yeses as we're making progress here. All right, first thing we need to do is look at seasons and cycles of time in the scriptures, because it turns out the Bible has a lot to say about seasons and cycles of time. Knowing what season we're in, turns out, is really, really important in the Bible. Knowing what actually happens or should happen in a season, really important in the scriptures. Knowing when we're transitioning into new seasons, really important in the scriptures. And so we might want to join with the biblical authors and think about and meditate on that for a while and apply it to our lives. So here's some selections. You could study this for a year. You could trace this through for a year in your personal Bible study, seasons in the scriptures, and you just have big old time. sometime, it'd be great, really helpful. I'm just going to take a few minutes, and maybe that'll, you know, spark some things in you to go even deeper. Probably the most famous place in Scripture about seasons is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Okay? But one I want to take you to that I think is really, really important is Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. This is the Lord God speaking. This is a really important one, because it's part of the story of Noah and the ark and the flood, and it's after the flood. So Noah has built the ark, and the floods came, and he and his family and the animals and all that stuff, they've journeyed with the ark, and now the waters have receded, and the door opens of the ark, and Noah leaves the ark, and he worships the Lord, and God promises to never curse the ground and send another cataclysmic flood. So this is like a new creation reset moment. And God's speaking over the fabric of the world and creation, and he's making promises. And this is a really big moment in the story of God and the story of the world and the story of his redemption. And in it, God blesses creation again. But look, he reordains seasons and cycles of time, and he like sets their importance in the fabric of creation. So as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And it's God blessing creation again, but he's reordaining seasons and cycles of time as really, really important in the fabric of creation. And then lots of Bible verses jump off from this, okay, and highlight seasons as part of being ordained in the created order and something we should pay attention to and praise God for and think about and apply to our lives, and that it's something that is good and we need to learn from this, right? And we need to reflect on and meditate on. So they're important and they're there for a reason. Here's some examples. Psalm 104, verse 19. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. Psalm 104 is a big, long prayer meditation on creation. So it mentions the seasons and a whole lot of other things. And it's the biblical authors are meditating on that and thinking about that. And then it's exploding out in this kind of prayer that we're still thinking about and praying today. You also could go to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7. Even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons. And the dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. So it's Jeremiah is thinking about and meditating on and hearing the word of the Lord about the importance of seasons and even creation. The animals know the importance of seasons and what to do when. But God's people, they're not reflecting on that, so they don't even know what the requirements of the Lord are. And there's great sin in the land because of that. In other places, the Lord decrees important rhythms of time like Sabbath, you know, one day out of seven for rest and recentering and being recreated in the presence of God. And then Sabbath years that the land might rest, 1 year out of seven. You weren't to touch your land, you weren't to plant, you weren't to work it or anything like that. You were to let it rest. And it was like this cycle of time to set your life by. And it was a way to learn and depend on God's goodness and to learn from a cycle of time how to love him more and depend on him more and trust him more. And you see this in places like Leviticus chapter 25, verse 5. Well, all of chapter 25 is all about this, like years of Jubilee and Sabbath years and stuff like that. And anyway, knowing what season or cycle of time you're in is very important in this system, because God was very serious about Sabbath and rest, and he still is. Another passage, super important, Proverbs 10:5. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Again, really important to illustrate the importance of knowing what season you are in, which tells you what you should be doing, and then how to bear fruit in that season. How to be a prudent daughter or son, and not be a disgraceful daughter or son. Okay? So this meditating and thinking about the seasons and cycles of time shows you what you should be doing. And so even in these just few examples, you can see the biblical writers are thinking and meditating on creation and season and cycles of time, why they're important to God, why they're important to us, and that they're inviting us to do the same thing. And as you move then into the New Testament, you can see at times the biblical writers are picking up that focus on seasons and cycles of time. You can look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, where Paul writes, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So it's a biblical author meditating and thinking about seasons and cycles and what happens when, and applying that to spiritual dynamics and serving the Lord. You have Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and which now at his appointed season." The first service missed their mark too, so that's okay. Don't feel bad about that. "He has brought to light through the preaching of entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. God's promised time of salvation, and now the right or appointed season is here as Jesus is revealed as Savior, the only way to life forever with the Father." If you study the life of Jesus in the Gospels, and you know from our epic marathon sermon series through the Gospel of Mark, if you were around for that a couple of months ago, we wrapped that thing up. If you were around then, you know that Jesus regularly told people not to tell anyone who he was, as it was not his appointed time. In John chapter 7, Jesus' brothers come to him to get him to go reveal himself in public with miracles at the great Feast of Tabernacles. You know, go and do your teaching and do your miracles thing, and your name will be great, and the people will love you, and you'll have a platform and likes on social media and all that stuff. And Jesus tells them in John chapter 7, verse 6, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. But for me, my time is not yet here." What's more revealing and requires deeper reflection are Jesus' rhythms with the Father that are revealed in the Gospels. He regularly retreats. You can see that in Luke chapter 5, verse 16. From busy ministry and teaching and healing people and casting demons and confronting religious leaders, he retreats to be alone with the Father. And you would think that that's the fruit, right? Doing the stuff is the fruit. But Jesus has fruit in every season, right? So he retreats with the Father. And that's something we need to think and meditate on, because Jesus never lets anyone else's agenda or idea of what fruit is distract him. He bears fruit in every season, whether that's powerful miracles and teaching, all the way to the hiddenness with the Father. He harvests the treasures and fruit that's in the darkness, just as much as he does miracles in the light. And then even if you think about the life of Jesus, he shows outrageous, immense fruitfulness even in his passion and his death. And through our eyes, a season that looks like a failure. Like, you did all these miracles and you taught all these sermons and all these crowds were following you. But what happened to you is you ended up on a tree, crucified, and then buried. And from the perspective of Good Friday and Holy Saturday, it looks like failure. It looks like bad fruit or no fruit. But from the perspective of Easter Sunday, it ends up being the most fruitful season in the history of time, as God reveals his glory and mystery and plan in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Son, which enabled the world to come to the Father and be united with him forever. Jesus understood seasons. He understood cycles of time. He understood where he was within that. He understood what kinds of fruit are born in each season. The question is, do we? Do you? And what if we did? So, if we're going to bear fruit in every season and prepare for future fruit in the right season, knowing what season we're in and what fruit comes in that season is really critical. And we're going to drill down on that in the coming weeks, the rest of the series. But as I've reflected on my own life and tried to help others reflect on theirs, and then just kind of watched life in Belfast for the last 23 and a half years or whatever it is, it seems like people, myself included, so I'm going to tell the truth on myself, live by kind of some default settings of two seasons or cycles of time. Okay? We only have good versus hard, right? So there's a picture of good where you're living your best life, your to-do list is crossed off, you're bearing fruit, you're on the mountaintop, and you know, you're conquering the world, right? That's the good season. You either live there, or you live in the other season where you're trying to push a rock up a hill, and it's hard, and you're almost being crushed, and what's the point, and it doesn't feel fruitful. In fact, it feels fruitless, right? Or maybe another way of saying it is there's two different cycles of time we're used to. It's like full on or crash stop, right? So full on, you got your to-do list up there. Like you're crossing things off your to-do list. You're bearing fruit. Everybody can see it. You're killing the game. It's amazing. You're getting promotions. And like externally, it's fruit, 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 fruit. Anyone know what that's like? Actually, I don't feel like I know what that's like, but you know what I mean? Like you feel like I'm killing, I'm finally doing what I'm supposed to do. Like once in a while that actually happens. Or we've just crashed into a wall. You know? And we feel like we should be the picture where we're crossing things off the to-do list, but we run so hot for so long that we crash. And then we have to withdraw, and it feels like we bear no fruit. So it's either like tons of fruit or smash no fruit, right? You guys don't live that way because you're good and holy, wonderful people. Like people like me need a lot of prayer, so maybe you could just intercede for us for the rest of the sermon or something like that. But have you ever felt that rhythm in your life? Help me out here, have you? Yeah. You feel the expectation and the weight of that, and just to be honest, the crushing hopelessness of that. Feeling like you always have to be on, and like these productivity podcast people that are like drinking protein shakes at 4 o'clock in the morning, lifting weights and typing a Word document at the same time and all that stuff, you know, and they just feel like that's what you're supposed to be like. And you never get there and you feel just insanely guilty about the times we just feel fruitless. But what if cycles of time and season are actually supposed to look different? We're supposed to be different. And what if we reflected on seasons ordained by God in creation, like the biblical writers did and started there for our anchor points? What if there was fruit in every season and we knew what kind of fruit we should be looking for in every season and how it comes, and we had practices and habits that we can build into our lives to ensure that we actually see it, not from the place of striving, but from the vision shown to us in Ezekiel 47, bearing fruit, sustained because we're rooted in God's presence. So how might things be different? I want to offer us a different paradigm than go hard and crash stop, or it's going great or it's awful, okay? And this just might help us bear fruit in every season. It's a paradigm based on the biblical vision of spring, summer, autumn, winter. I know, mind blown, right? Or maybe a different way to say it that's interesting and kicks things off is preparation, execution, reflection, and rest. Okay, and they kind of overlay each other, right? So what happens in springtime, right? It's usually a season of preparation, but we're preparing to be really fruitful and to like go into action. We're planting seed, getting ready to do a lot of work in the harvest, right? So that's kind of what happens in springtime. Summer is usually a time of action and work and harvest and execution when we're busy and bearing like external fruit, like things are happening, right? Make hay while the sun shines, right? That's kind of a picture of summer, right? Autumn is a time for reflection, right? I've just come out of summer. I've just come out of a really busy time. What do I think about that? What actually happened? What can I learn from that? What happened to me because I was just been in a really busy time? Where do I need to recover from that? And then passing into winter, winter being a time of rest, where rhythms look a little bit different, where maybe we withdraw a little bit from activity. We're moving slower, not to just, you know, veg out and watch Netflix till our eyeballs bleed or something like that and feel like, you know, that kind of thing. But to hear the voice of the Lord and experience real biblical rest and in so doing become healed from our exertions. You know, the fruit that the Lord has for us in spring will be different than the fruit that he has for us in autumn. Fruit that's born in a season of winter will look very different to the fruit that we see in our lives in a season of summer. But it's all fruit. It's fruit in every season. And as Alan said last week, real fruitfulness can't just be like working for God. bearing what looks like tons of fruit externally, or else you're failing or you crash. True fruitfulness is God bearing fruit in us in every season that then overflows and impacts the world around us, not through striving, but because we're like those trees. We're rooted in his presence. We're attentive to him, leading us. He leads us through the cycles and the seasons. Doesn't that feel doable? Doesn't that take the pressure off? Doesn't that feel like grace? Like you're a friend of Jesus and a child of God rather than an employee or like a slave of heaven? And crucially, for me, this paradigm insists on all seasons. That we actually rest, like guilt-free. We actually find healing rest in a regular pattern and rhythm. Non-negotiable. But also insists that we actually do something. We actually do real things in the real world. We work hard. We execute some things. We accomplish some things. And we see God do things because of that. Like both happen. And then crucially, we don't do it mindlessly. Like we prepare for it. We prepare. And then we also reflect on it. And we learn. And we grow as we go through these cycles and patterns. And of course, it's not literal. Like we are allegedly entering spring, right? But maybe you are in a personal season that looks a bit more like autumn. And you're in a season of reflection. And you're headed for winter and rest. The boundaries of these things are, they're intentionally blurry, right? It's a paradigm rather than rigid categories. Also important and valuable to know is you can apply this paradigm to a decade of your life, a year of your life, or an hour of your life. Okay? So, for example, me thinking back on the year 2023, so last year, you know, particularly with this building, you know, we moved into this building in March, and my expectation when we moved in was, you know, for me personally and for our church was, this is summertime. Like, it's go time. We got this baby renovated. We're going to hit the ground running. We're going to do loads of things. We're going to bear tons of fruit. We're going to be working hard. We're going to be making hay while the sun shines. It's going to be awesome. And turns out I was really naive. Because what we found was that it was actually autumn. That we needed to do a time of reflection. And we needed to journey some things together. Like, what just happened to us? What does it actually mean to have a building of our own for the first time? Not just our thoughts and dreams about that, but what does it actually feel like? What is it like? What are we doing in this community? What is this community like? What do we even know about it? What are the rhythms of this community? And like 1,000 other things we needed to think about and reflect on. And that actually then took us into a period of winter where we needed to rest. Because we exerted a lot of resource to even get in here. And we needed to rest. We needed to breathe. We needed to learn. We needed to take some time to recuperate from doing a big thing. And we needed to let it lie a little bit and not strive. And then late in 2023, it actually began to become like spring. And we felt like, okay, we found our feet a little bit. And we began to do some things and prepare to do some things. And we found our feet a little bit and began to have a sense of this is what God wants to do and began to take a step out into that. You see the rhythm that kind of happens? So you could do that over a year, you could do that over a decade, or you could do that over an hour of your day. Let's say tomorrow, whether in your family or your workplace or wherever it is, you know you've got a challenging conversation. Anybody have any of those? I feel like I have nothing but those. Let's say you've got a hard thing or just something you just need to execute. Like you got to get her done, right? Or it's a tough thing you got to do. You could apply this to your day tomorrow. Let's just use that conversation example. You got a tricky or a hard, sensitive conversation you need to have. You could spend some time preparing for it. So you don't just walk in to a room and just the first thing that comes into your head, you just say, right? You spend some time in spring or preparation. And then you execute it, like you have the conversation. You say what you need to say, and you hear what you need to say, and it's like it happens. The thing you're supposed to do happens. But then instead of like leaping into the next thing you have to do because your to-do list is a mile long or you got to go get the kids or whatever it happens to be, you actually reflected on what just happened to me. What happened? How did that go? What could I learn? And then you even slip into a period of rest. Before you do something challenging or hard again, you actually rest. You encounter the Lord and get healed up or restored from that. You see the cycle. A cycle of spring to winter in an hour. Again, you could do this in a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade. How would your life be different if we lived this way? Another important question, though, is what if I don't do this? What if I don't do this? What's at stake? Well, here's a few things. You're going to strive, and I'm going to strive. We're going to try and make fruit come in the wrong season, and that means we probably burn out or come close. But we don't partner with what the Father is already doing, and we try and bring fruit our own way. And that's possible for a while, but it's a punishing way to live. And it ignores the biblical witness that points to seasons in life and the easy yoke of Jesus and his kingdom. We can get stuck in a season. You know, we're always getting ready to do the thing, and we never do the thing. You ever been there? What's the call of God on your life that you've been heard about prophetically, and as you read the Bible, and you felt God speaking to you like since you were a teenager? And I just had... We can get stuck. Never do the thing. Or we're always exhausted. We're always on a break. It's always not the right time. And we're going to talk about how to healthily transition out of each season in the coming weeks, which hopefully that'll help. But we don't want to ever get stuck in a season. We don't have time for rest. We think we don't, so we end up doing damage to our soul, our emotions, our physical bodies. Or we don't prepare, so that means we bear some fruit, but we don't bear all the fruit that God intended. Or we burn so hot and we don't recover that future fruit, future you, can't cope with the pace that current you is living at. And so future fruit is at risk. If we don't have space for reflection, we miss the voice of God. We miss moments that lead to healing, confession of sin, what God might want to say to us. If we don't reflect, we don't process things like pain and sorrow and grief and forgiveness, so we end up growing bitter and toxic and we bear rotten fruit. We fall victim to boredom and apathy because we just don't ever do anything. Or become distracted. We miss the season of action and harvest, and we miss our assignments. We did our anointing service. If you weren't here, we did it the first service of 2024, and people just came up, and they would say, this is what I feel like God is giving me as an assignment this year. It could be something at work, could be something in family, it could be anything. And we laid hands on people and anointed them with oil and prayed for them that they would, you know, have the strength of the Lord to fulfill their assignment from him in 2024 and carry the easy yoke of Jesus in that. So firstly, how's that going? But when we don't live in these kinds of cycles, those assignments can go by the wayside, and we don't want to be those kinds of people. So how do we know what season we're in right now? Well, we're going to be talking about that in the weeks to come as we do a little bit deeper dive in it, but just really quickly now, I think there's some key questions to begin to help us discern that. Like, what are you hungering for? If you didn't muzzle it, what would the cry of your heart be? What brings life to you? These things can be clues. Like, if you're longing for deep rest, that's something to consider. If you're like, I am so bored, maybe that's something to consider. If you're feeling the winds of change and transition and maybe some excitement about the future and you just want to get going, maybe that's a clue that you're entering a season of spring. major life transitions really point the way for us, as well as simply allowing the voice of the Lord to speak to us through community. As you pray, have people around you laying hands on you, as you just seek the Lord in your own time and open the scriptures, and what does he speak to you through his word? And again, we'll unpack that a bit more, all that a bit more in the coming weeks. We're going to also look at different disciplines and practices we want to have in our lives for different seasons to ensure that fruit comes and future fruit is protected. But there are disciplines we need in all seasons. For example, we need to be in the scriptures in all seasons. We need to build a life of prayer in all seasons. We need to be involved in community, including worshiping together like we did a few minutes ago with our church family. Service is a rhythm and a practice and a habit for all seasons. These are like the baseline ones we need. They're going to look different in each season, but they always need to be there in every season. They might be more intense in some seasons and a little bit less in others, and it depends on how we practice them, but they all need to be there. So we'll be diving in to all that. But I want to close with this. I've been thinking a lot about seasons and cycles of time, as you can tell. You might be like, I wish you hadn't thought of so much about like that. And bearing fruit in every season. Hopefully this series is at least mildly helpful to you. But whatever season you're in right now, whether you could identify it or not, whatever stage of life you're in, whatever's going on in your life right now, I felt compelled to say to you today that with Jesus, it's always a season of grace if we turn to him. There is grace for you, no matter what you're facing. If you're not currently following Jesus and you're wondering, would he have me? Could I follow Jesus? Does he have anything to say to me? He has grace for you. If you've been following Jesus for 100 years and you're tired and you're worn out and you're burnt out and you're wondering, does he have any use for me? He has grace for you. He has grace for you. The scripture I want us all to memorize and to think about this week is Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our seasons may change. What he's doing in our life by the Spirit in each season will change. He does not change. The crucified and risen one is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the gate to eternal life, but he's also the gate to kingdom life right now, where by his Spirit and presence we can overcome, we can know him deeply, we can live in his presence, we can carry his power, we can bear fruit in all seasons as we experience his grace and his easy yoke. We don't need to strive because he overcame sin, death, and the devil on the cross, and he rose again in victory. And his grace is extended to us if we will grab hold of us. And I believe we are to look to Jesus. No matter the problem you're facing, look to Jesus. No matter if you hate this talk on seasons or not, I don't really care. Look to Jesus. If you only hear one thing I say, look to Jesus. Look to him. I believe he's going to be drawing us closer and closer to himself in the coming weeks and months. I believe it's going to be a special season. He's like gazing at us, like his. You know how when someone's staring at you and you all of a sudden realize, they are staring into my soul? That's what it's going to be like. He's going to be staring into us and penetrating our shields and the ways we're distracted, and he wants to bring us into his embrace. So whatever we do, let's pursue him, his gospel, and his life. And as we think about seasons, let's come to him. As we have needs, let's come to him. If we've never committed to him, let's come to him. If we've been following him for a long time, let's come to him. With him, it's always a season of grace. Lay down your striving. Lay down your doubts. Lay down your fear. Lay down the ways we've tried to bring forth fruit from our lives in our own strength. Lay it down. Lay it down. Come to him. Receive his grace for whatever it is you need. Why don't you stand? There's going to be a team of people up here to help me pray for people. If you want to begin following Jesus and just dive headlong into his grace, mercy, forgiveness, peace, and joy for you, we would love to pray for you. If you have been following him for a long time and just feel stuck, we want to pray His grace and presence and power over you. Some of us, we like are stuck in seasons and we don't like it, but we're not, it's like we're not seeing the fruit, right? We're looking for external fruit when we should be looking for treasures in the darkness. And you feel fruitless and you feel worthless, but the Lord wants to show you treasures in the darkness, what He's been working in and through your life, even though it's been through suffering and very, very difficult. And if that's you, we want to pray for you. And I feel like you're going to see the gaze of Jesus and your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to see that actually your life is bearing immense fruit. And you're to give that away to the world. Others of you, I just had a picture during worship that you've been going through a season where it's really, really tough right now. And the Lord wants to teach you the rhythms of getting filled up in His presence and then going out into the world. Get filled up in worship like here, but get filled up in the scriptures. And as you pray with Him, it's like this rhythm of actually encountering His presence, getting what you need, and going out and impacting the world. And if that's what you need, we want to pray for you. And then others of us, if you just want to experience the gaze of Jesus, you want more of His presence, we want to pray for you. I had a sense that what you're to think about is, what are you gazing at? As He gazes upon you, what are you gazing at? Is it what you fear? Is it the obstacles? Is it dark things that are unhelpful, that are occupying your attention? Or are you looking to Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who showers us and has the gaze of grace, and He wants to immerse you in His grace and peace? What are you gazing upon? It's time to gaze on our Savior afresh. So I'm going to pray for us, and then as if by magic, people will be up here to help me pray, and you can receive ministry. Lord, thank you for your goodness. And we thank you that this, Lord, your season is always a season of grace. We thank you for the times where that's just like abundantly clear and it's floating on clouds. But we also thank you for the times where it's like a severe mercy. And we just say we want to be mature. We want to live within our limits and we want to experience your grace. We want to bear fruit in all seasons. We want to even taste treasures in the darkness. Would you give us a new perspective? Would you heal us? Would you sustain us where we feel like we are at the end of our tether? We can do this no longer. Would you sustain us? Would your perfect peace and your radical grace come penetrate our hearts afresh? Call people to give their lives to you for the first time. Heal the sick. Breathe on those of us that are just done. May we leave here lighter, fresher, freer, ready to embrace your seasons, your strength and your power and your goodness. Fill us up, Lord. So Holy Spirit, around the room, right where we need it most, fill us. Fill us. Overcome our obstacles. Overcome our fear, our apathy, and our doubt. And fill us fresh. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.